Welcome to the program. Actually, it's Breakfast with James and Jimmy. We're here right up until 9 o'clock. The boys having a bit of a break over this busy period, and understandably so. You are encouraged to get in contact with the program on this Thursday morning, 1300 01 1170 0457 736 736. Now, a little observation from me this morning, and that is that I get in here and it's a laptop-type world for me. A younger generation, say, the missile comes in, it's all done off the phone. What's going on with that?
Yeah, on the phone. That's where I do all my emails, all my work, pretty much everything.
Everything. Do you have a laptop?
Yeah, I do have a laptop. I kind of save that for watching Netflix and stuff.
Ah. See, there's another thing.
Yeah.
I found out the other day that you could actually download Netflix programs onto your phone.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Apparently it's been around for about 5 or 6 years, though.
What I've been doing recently is I'm setting up a gym. I'm about to open a gym, and we've got the bikes and the ski ergs and the rowers.
Yes.
They've got a little spot for your phone now above the display. So you can put Netflix on, sit it in there, and just sit on the bike and ride away, burn the calories for like an hour, and watch your favorite Netflix show.
Was that better than that machine we saw on
the
Selling Channel?
The infomercials that are running here of a morning. I can't believe, I'd love to know, if any of our listeners out there have bought something recently off an infomercial,
yes.
Text in or call us. Call us on 1300 01 1170 or text in 0457 736 736. Have you recently bought something off an infomercial? Because it's blowing my mind, Jimmy. I didn't know they were still running.
Well, can you answer me this? Have you ever bought anything from an infomercial?
I have.
Oh, really?
When I first left home about... we're going on 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
I bought two things off an infomercial.
Here we go.
One was, do you remember the stone pots and pans? They were the blue with the white fleck. It was pots and pans. I bought a set of those.
Okay.
And they actually worked.
So what? Were you walking past a television or did you actually have it on?
Flicked on at home. I think what used to happen, we'd wake up, 4:30 of the morning before swimming training, flick on the TV.
Right.
There's the pots and pans. I could do it for a set of pots and pans.
Perfect.
Second one didn't work as well. I bought a set of silk sheets. Off an infomercial.
This sounds to me like something after a world championship victory. Yeah. But anyway.
The Egyptian silk sheets.
What thread count?
Oh, it was high. I think they lasted about a year until I got a girlfriend. She moved in and the first thing she did was throw out the silk sheets.
The Egyptian silk sheets.
Yep,
right.
Gone.
Okay, even with the high thread count.
Yeah.
There you go.
About you?
I've never ever bought anything. No.
But people, you were saying to me yesterday that there's stats showing that there's a lot of people buying things off these infomercials.
Oh, they're unbelievable. So there's all this other programming you could put on, but the television networks go, no, because this is more
crazy.
This is more lucrative for us.
Crazy.
The way they do it. So, let us know. I don't know how we got to this, but anyway, what did you buy on the infomercial? As we're surrounded by Wimbledon and infomercials, but apparently it works all major muscle groups, the one we're looking at.
You got a door, you got a gym.
Oh, that is very good. It's so much like 7-minute abs there. It's not funny, isn't it? All right, this is SEN Breakfast, I think. I don't know what we're doing at the moment. We're here in Sydney. We're doing an SEN track on the Central Coast and the Illawarra through 90.3 FM in Griffith. Anywhere around the world on the SEN app. And your SEN track down there at Canberra, 1323 AM. You better give us a shout out. Let us know what's going on, what the temperature is, what it feels like. As I mentioned, the open line, 1300 01 1170. That's all thanks to McDonald Jones. And then, of course, the text line, 0457 736 736. The podcasts are all available wherever you get your favourite podcasts. Search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. So, big show today. Brett Phillips coming up from Wimbledon. Some good results, some not so good results for the Aussies. Few upsets over the course of the 24 hours since we've been on air as well. Shaunie Ormerod from Sportsbet, NRL legend and Celebrity Apprentice winner. Thanks very much. Benji Marshall coming on to the program.
Did you catch any of that?
No, I didn't.
I just watched this little clip where he spoke about his upbringing.
Oh, yes.
And growing up without a father in his life and stuff. It was pretty touching stuff.
I think that was that the pitch to Stan that they had to do.
Something about making a movie about your life.
Yeah.
I saw it on my phone. I saw it online.
Of course.
Just a clip of that section.
Yeah. Right next to the steak knives, apparently, that one. Wally, the stats man's going to tell us all the important stats leading into round 16 of the National Rugby League. And Michelle Bishop will be along not once, not twice, but three times during the course of the morning.
She's a workhorse.
Which we do look forward to. Big prize to give away, of course, sold out. That was the news that was coming through yesterday. The State of Origin Game 3 is sold out. But we have two State of Origin Gold Reserve tickets at Suncorp, pre- and post-match function, a night's accommodation in the Brisbane CBD, and two return flights to Sydney. For your chance to win, keep listening throughout the course of the day, and we'll give you your cue to call. In fact, that'll happen in the next couple of hours, won't it? So there you go. Give us the correct answer. You're in the draw. Much like Lee yesterday, who
Lee
went in the draw.
Yeah, I think I might get a trip through that one.
What was her partner's name?
Bulldogs fan. I can't remember.
Who was liking the missile more than Lee, which is a little bit disconcerting for Lee. I'm available, Lee, if you wanted to. Anyway, separate issue. Righto, let's get into the topics of the day. James, Sean O'Sullivan. Oh, shock me. The son of Peter O'Sullivan, the recruitment officer at the Dolphins. However, according to reports, that's completely unrelated, that Sean O'Sullivan will get the opportunity to be the number seven for the Dolphins in their very first year next year.
They've finally got their marquee signing.
Or not so much. Look, with due respect to Sean O'Sullivan, he's a good player.
Yeah.
He's probably NRL class. He's never going to get an opportunity at the Penrith Panthers when Nathan Cleary's fit. So this is a good move.
Do you think for the Dolphins, so they've pretty much missed out on every big-name player this year, right? But there's a couple coming off contract next year. So we've heard this week, Damian Cook, Matt Burton. Do you think next year's not a write-off, but they kind of just bank that one and then go for a big-name player the following season?
I would underestimate Wayne at your peril.
Yeah, so you think there's still time to get someone?
And I would also suggest that if you've signed someone for 24, that you could agitate strongly to work something out. The difficulty for the Dolphins is often when a club would do that, there'd be a swap.
Yeah.
They can't swap anyone because they're all brand new anyway.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the challenge around that one for the new team that's come in. And I know there's been some criticism in some quarters about how much time they've had to be able to build this squad. Remember when the AFL did it with the Suns and the Giants, a massive concessions. Now they have a draft and they're able to use that mechanism to give them all these younger players. But did it work? Did it not work? Certainly didn't work at the Suns. And you could put a big question mark about whether it worked at the Giants, given there's a fair few that as soon as they're outside of that first deal, they return home.
The talk on Munster has gone pretty quiet. I feel like if the NRL chipped in a little bit for Munster and he's their guy at the Dolphins, suddenly that would turn around all their recruitment. He's your marquee man.
But how does the Melbourne Storm, how do you reconcile that to the Melbourne Storm and say, oh, by the way, NRL said, by the way, Melbourne, we'll take Cameron.
Yeah.
That's not
fair. It's a tough one, isn't it?
That's not fair. And you're right. He's perfect for that new franchise. Queenslander, key position, star player, all of that. You get the sense that he would work really well under Wayne Bennett.
Absolutely.
But I think his form was so compelling. Like everyone said, he's not drinking anymore and all that sort of stuff and the rehabilitation and all that sort of stuff. You just got a sense, all right, well, this is just going to be a fabulous season for him. Oh. I thought he started slowly and then went bang.
That first Origin, he was amazing. Even the other night in a beaten side, I thought he was still their best player. He was rushing up in defence, disrupting Cleary, still dangerous with the ball. I'm hoping that AC joint injury keeps him out of game three just quietly.
I was going to say, with injury.
Yeah.
You know, he did all that with injury that happened early on in that second half. So, and I think that he's played so well and capped off by that State of Origin 1 performance.
Yeah.
Remember the Melbourne Storm offer was $750?
Yeah.
Well, they've just gone, well, it's just ridiculous. Let's start
ridiculous.
Again.
Ridiculous.
Let's start again. And I'm sure they have. Now they've got to make it work.
Yeah.
They've got to make it work from a salary cap point of view, knowing that they've got Harry Grant on a big contract, Ryan Pappenhausen on a big contract, and Jerome Hughes
Crazy.
On a big contract.
Yeah. At least all your money's in your spine, but It's a lot of money to spend.
Do you reckon there's a change of that? This is a separate issue, but it's also related to the fact that Joey Manu looks like he's going to be playing at the 5/8 position for the Roosters against the Panthers. How much money should you put in your spine players? Like, what percentage of your cap?
Oh, I'd be saying at least 30-40% in those four players.
Yeah. Yeah. And then cross your fingers and hope they stay healthy.
Pretty much. Yeah. I how much would Manu be on at the Roosters? Five, sixes?
Keep
as
going.
A centre? More.
Keep going. I think they pay him very well because they know at times he'll have to play fullback and at times there's, like now, he's going to play 5/8.
Do you think he's wasted at centre based off what we saw last weekend in the rep round?
I think what he's been able to do, it's a very good question. I think what he's been able to do is inject himself into games as a centre, but not typical of all other centres. Like, he goes looking for the ball a little bit more. There was a game last year where he played on the wing. Remember they put him on the wing in one of those games? Yeah. And he ran for over 300 metres because he was able to leave his wing and come in and do that sort of second fullback role. And that was at the time when there was no Keary, and so Tedesco was playing like a first receiver.
I like this move. I really think Sam Walker's an out-and-out halfback. Yeah. I think he struggles when he plays second fiddle to Keary. I thought his form in the back half of last year leading into the finals, when I'm sure Trent Robinson had said to him, "This is your team," I thought he looked really confident.
Yes.
Looks like he's been second-guessing himself a little bit this year. I love him at halfback and Manu at 5/8. There was talk on NRL 360 last night about Luke Keary, about whether he may be done, whether he's overthinking it. Apparently the doctors have said there's no medical issue that they can detect, but it's obviously in his head because he's said, "I'm not ready to come back yet." As a player, if you start thinking about head knocks and worrying about the future, how much does that affect your confidence?
Oh, enormously. Any athlete on any injury, but in particular that one.
Yeah.
Right.
So because if you're going into contact and you're almost anticipating a head knock, it must be just a tough game to play.
So think about it this way too. You've had a long history of concussions that has put your career in question. I remember you had the 6 weeks out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think in his very first test match, he got knocked out cold in the first 2 minutes and basically didn't take any further part in that.
Yep.
Combined with the fact that two of your respected leaders that you've followed for so long in Boyd Cordner and Jake Friend have both also said, "Yep, I'm a little concerned about this and I'm going to retire."
Yeah. This is an interesting question. My girlfriend asked me this last night. So the Roosters have had multiple people now retire from head knocks.
Yes.
Are the Roosters just an unlucky club, or are they the most honest club where they're coming out and saying, "Our players have a problem and this can't go on"?
Ooh, it's a good question.
It is, isn't it?
It's a good question.
Yeah, because they can't be the only club that's having this problem.
So here's the other thing. Identify those players at other clubs who you think, "Oh, hang on."
Well, there's only one that came to mind, and that was Richie Feoso.
Okay.
He was suffering terrible head knocks. He was at a number of different clubs. I think he finished up at Parramatta. But a couple of the times I was watching him play and he was getting knocked out off the kickoff, and then he'd come back on, he'd stagger. And he seemed like he'd gone years past what he should have.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, what about current players? What about players? I've got two in mind. They're
at the
same club.
Let me think about it in the break.
Wade Graham.
Ooh, good one.
Wade Graham. So he's had, and here's the further interesting part about it. There's another player at his club. I think Dale Finucane has had a number of concussions.
Recently.
Right?
Yep.
And here's the interesting part about that.
Yep.
Craig Fitzgibbon is the coach who's come from the Roosters system, seen it firsthand.
Yeah.
So you would think all the care that the Roosters show would be transferred into all the care. And here's the challenge. What if you don't do it? What if you say, no, they're right to play?
Mm.
Are they right to play and that's perceived the right way? Or is it, uh-oh, that they're not showing the care for the athlete that the Roosters do?
Yeah, it's a really touchy subject, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
And it's a very individual subject too.
Yep.
But, you know, James Graham, he was desperate to sign a waiver. Let me play. I don't care.
Yeah.
Let me play. But there are others who and he said, I don't care about the long-term impacts.
Yeah.
That might change now. that he stopped playing.
Yeah. Well, when you retired, it's when you're competing, you think that's your whole life.
It is.
You?
It is.
But then you retire and you go, I've got more than another lifetime to live.
Yeah. You're only just getting started.
It's crazy, isn't it? But when you're an athlete, you're so laser focused, you don't think about that next 40 years of your life.
Do you remember the back rower who played for the Raiders and the Dragons, Josh Miller from Forbes?
I do.
Right.
Yep.
So even then, when we didn't know much about concussion, I used to think to myself, this bloke is too brave for his own good.
Yeah.
He would get concussed regularly and come back onto the field. He was unbelievably brave and too brave. Too brave for his own well-being. But there you go. I don't. We got onto that subject, but it's an interesting one, and it's not straightforward. So Luke Keary out, Joey Manu to 5'8". Panthers are still going to be, I won't say impossible to beat, but very tough to beat.
Tough.
Out there at Bluebet Stadium. So, interesting to see what happens with Luke Keary. I think for every person that's a Roosters fan that will be happy that Joey Manu's into the halves, will be concerned that Paul Momorowski is into the three-quarter line. So there's a little payoff with that one as well. Manly v Melbourne tonight. You'll hear it on 1170 SEN, NRL Nation there for that one. Did you see the data on head-to-head, Bellamy and Hasler? 17 apiece.
Wow, that must be the best record against Bellamy, is it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
The mad scientist, he loves it.
Yeah. And I think the game points differential works out, it's like 1.4 points overall. So it's the winning team, the average winning margin, 0.7.
So good.
And isn't that amazing when you consider 40-0 when that was going head-to-head? We had some test cricket. Well, I was going to say overnight, but it was yesterday afternoon, wasn't it? Flicked it on last night. How good to see Davey Warner batting in the floppy. You see him in the Greg Chappell floppy? Yeah.
Really?
No helmet. Just because
right.
I think they bowled one over, the seamers, and then it was on with the spinners.
All spinners.
Well done, Nathan Lyon. He's taken his 20th fifer.
How good.
He's amazing, the GOAT. He's gone past Sir Richard Hadley, who was my favourite cricketer.
Yep.
As a kid growing up, on the all-time wicket takers list, 432. So I think he's 12th on that list, and he's only one behind Rangana Harith. So he'll go past him probably this test match as well. Mitch Swepson, 3 for 55 from his 13 overs. But Australia in reply, 3 for 98, could have been 2 for, could have been 1 for, but we had this.
Van der Sar striking Smith on the pad. And we might have a run out here. Smith diving back in. He's short. He's short of his ground. The Sri Lankans are celebrating. Smith has been sent back by Usman Khawaja. He's got mud and dust caked down the front of his white test shirt. And he's gesticulating to nobody in particular about how annoyed he is. Palms up to the sky. He's shaking his head. And Stephen Smith has been run out for 6. He hit him on the pad. Khawaja started to go. He called Smith down and then abandoned the run. Smith turns back, and that was pretty clearly Usman Khawaja's fault.
Test cricket on SEN. I'm not sure he was gesticulating wildly at no one in particular. I think it was very clear who he was gesticulating wildly at. Usman, the old yes, no, wait, sorry. Steve Smith, not happy with that, and fair enough too. It actually might even provide a little bit of a talk topic for us today. When has your teammate let you down? Might it just be your team. It might be another instance, famously in Australian sport. I don't know whether someone ran a slow leg in a relay at one stage.
We've had a few.
I don't know whether you want to name names, but you know that's. I'm gonna nominate the late great Shane Keith Warne.
Right.
1999, first test, fifth day against India, and he knocks on one at first slip. Damien Fleming going for a second career test hat trick. And he dropped it.
Dropped it.
It was not that deep. It was almost regulation, and Warney knocked it on. So keep those nominations coming through. 0457 736 736. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. We'll keep updating you all the news coming out of Wimbledon as well. We're going to have Brett Phillips a little bit later on.